It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for this 29th day of November 2017. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go, and then you click on chat room if you'd like to pick out a free screen name and a free password and jump into the merry multimedia, rollicking, wacky, zany, real-time extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. If you jump in there, you'll be immediately greeted by Anatole and B.T. Blom, and yes, me, I'm greeting you now. And more will be wandering along presently, as we do not have a tardy policy for the chat room. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. That's out of the way. And it is, in fact, Wednesday, midweek, downhill to Friday, next to last day of November, and we have thanks to send out. Yes, indeed. Abso-damn-lutely we do. Thanks go out on this 29th day of the month to our pal Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent, as well as K. Thank you, K. Thank you so very much. And that means that what started, what we finished off last night with a $435 fundraising goal is now down to $375 to finish the month. If we can do that, if we can raise $375 this evening. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Hung like Jesus. $355 this evening. If we can raise $355 this evening, then glory, hallelujah, praise Jeebus, we can have tomorrow evening, Thursday, the 30th of November, a fundraising-free Thorn in the Side Thursday. I'd like that. Would you like that? Because I burn up way too much time talking about this stuff on any given night. But it's what we have, and it's how we keep it going. So thank you very much again to Kay and to Terry and to everyone who keeps The Horn on the air without any commercial interruption whatsoever. Thank you. If you would like to help, and see, I told you there'd be more people wandering in. There's Arthur, there's Hoghead, there's Silent R. Lamar. More on the way. Sometimes the cavalry, just a little bit, foot sore. But anyway, if you'd like to help out, it's real easy. All you got to do is go to headonradionetwork.com, click on Contribute. The little PayPal interface is there. If you'd like to become a subscriber, that'd be freaking awesome. And you can just put in $10, click the little check mark there and make this a recurring monthly donation, and you're done. If you want to just help out this evening, that's super cool too. Then you just put the whatever amount you want into Mr. Soros, Mr. Clooney, Ms. Streisand, Mr. Reiner, Mr. DiCaprio, Bueller, y'all just put down the number one and start hitting that zero key for a while, and we'll guarantee the life. We'll guarantee the sustainability of this program indefinitely. One of y'all does that. Sure would be awesome. But anyway, in the long term, we're looking. You know, we need $410 a month subscribers, and it would be grand. We just don't. But anyway, put in a number. If you hate PayPal, if you despise PayPal, if you loathe the idea of PayPal, there's always the Patreon campaign. That comes out on the first day of the month, every month, and everybody who jumps in gets a... everybody who subscribes through the Patreon campaign gets bumper sticker or bumper stickers, which is cool. And, you know, thinking about other swag to put out there somewhere along the way, too. And one other thing, Venmo. Venmo. If you look up Bob Kincaid on Venmo, you can find me, find the program there, too. So, it's all, try to make it easy. And then there's always the U.S. Postal Service, the good old-fashioned United States Postal Service. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. That's for checks and money orders, please. Because, it's just not a good idea to send cash through the mails. But if you do it that way, I'll let Boss Man Wayne know, because he handles all the picking up the mail duties. And if you let me know there's going to be something there, I'll tell him. And he can just leave the spider-proof gloves in the truck and only take in his trusty piece of rebar in case he runs into the Grand Exalted Wizard Dragon Kleagle Cyclops of the clan, who picks up their mail at the same location. Okie dokie? Cool. Really? We're having problems already? Note coming in from Steve. Okay, who didn't flush the toilet in the sacristy? And who's using the toilet in the sacristy anyway? Sorry to be so crude at the start of services. Well, these things have to be dealt with now, don't they? Yeah. They certainly do. And, you know, it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And I only thought that I was tired of turkey after last week. When you get right down to it, you never get tired of turkey. Turkey's wonderful. And the little old blue-haired ladies in the Fellowship Hall kitchen proved that. The deacons, I gotta confess, they're bummed out. They were looking for a night off. It's not often that we have the chance to, to do a fundraising free prayer meeting Wednesday, and they don't have to pass the plates. And so I got some side eye out of the deaconate, but nonetheless, the little old blue haired ladies from the pre-Thanksgiving dinner previously, they did up some turkeys, and. But at my request, because, you know, I smoked them, the turkeys, not the little old blue-haired ladies. They saved the carcasses. They put them, you know, they put them back in the walk-in. And the little old blue-haired ladies took all those turkey carcasses in our great big humongous stock pots. And they made turkey broth. This was because everybody knows that I adore, as does former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis, I recently found out, I adore turkey carcass soup. Mm-hmm. And when you have smoked said turkey and you make turkey carcass soup, you get smoky turkey carcass soup, and just wow. Wow. So the little old blue-haired ladies made a big pot of turkey carcass soup, and then they took some of the extra broth and they thickened it up, and they made turkey pot pie. Oh, yes they did. And then something I never even thought about, it was a turkey smorgasbord this evening down in the Fellowship Hall of the Cathedral of Common Sense. Yes, turkey and dumplings. Oh, mercy. You only thought chicken and dumplings were good. Turkey and dumplings are exquisite. Yes. So we had the turkey pot pie. We had, they don't fool around with any frozen crust or anything. They make their own. Cold water, flour, butter, yum. And we had turkey pot pie and turkey carcass soup and the turkey and dumplings, all of it just with that hint of smoky wonderfulness. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And a little late season winter vegetable medley to go along. Golly Moses, green salad. And then, dessert. Dear God, dessert. Yeah, it was. They were in a hurry, so they just threw together a few pans of that four-layer pie that you stick in the refrigerator, and then everybody loses their mind over. Oh, so good, so good. And I mean, there wasn't even so much as a wee tiny dollop of the sweetened cream cheese filling of the four-layer pie left after the deacons were done with it. The sad faces of the little children as they scrambled to at least get a taste of what the little old blue-haired ladies had made. Yeah, it was too late. The deacons had done been there. And the deacons eagerly trundled their bulk up those couple of flights of stairs to go out to start smoking with the sinners in the parking lot. Frankly, they were looking at spending some considerable more time witnessing to the sinners this evening, because they were hoping they weren't going to have to pass the plate. But no, I sent Sister Carol Baker out there with a fresh charge on the solar-powered cattle prod. It was crackling merrily away. And the crestfallen look on the faces of the deacons would have made a stone weep. And so they, even under the threat of the solar-powered cattle prod, they sort of slowly shambled their way toward the door there, and shambled through the vestibule, and shambled past that desiccating bowl of butter mints. I'm not sure how long it's been desiccating since they lost their minds and ate it a while back. But they're still desiccating, and they came down here, and they're waiting here, and they're crestfallen, and they've got their big, heavy, brass-bound, velvet-lined collection plates in hand, and they're getting ready to move among the congregation. I've never seen such a sorry bunch of deacons. Yeah. So that's where we are, and consequently, it's been a slow day in Mount Colby Gone. Yeah, that's a sidelong reference to a story for later in the program. So we're gonna call the minister of music up to lead us in the offertory prayer. Just remember, every head bowed, every eye closed, and just keep that one eye. That one eye scrunched open just a teensy tiny itsy bitsy little bit, so that you won't get yourself a concussion when your neighbor passes the plate poorly. And you don't want that. Those are heavy plates. Just take it, press the little PayPal button, send it on, and maybe we can still have that fundraising free thorn in the side Thursday. I don't know. One hopes. Okay. So, brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren. Welcome, one and all. Welcome, welcome. I'm a-calling on you right now, brethren and sistren. I want you to stand up. Stand up. I want you to get off of your seats and onto your feet. And I want you to come on out. Come on out from amongst the pews. Yeah, that's right. Wiggle and waddle and wobble and wobble. And walk without rhythm so you won't attract the worms. And come on out into the broad and open space of the aisle and make your way quickly, promptly, as though called from on high. Come on down. Down, down, come on down that blood-red aisle and fall. Fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands, glory, upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the Cathedral of Common Sense on the Horn. Hallelujah, amen. Ow! Ow, yes, yes, praise be. It is Wednesday. And you know what I'm feeling? I'm feeling especially roused up and ready to go and raring to go this here evening, brethren and sistren, because, well, I wanted to tell you a little something about priapic prunes. Priapic prunes from Horn Labs. We're happy to welcome new intern Horn Lab scientist Rico, developer of priapic prunes. The only product that guarantees you get a regular boner with your regular BM. Yes, folks, with priapic prunes, you can keep it up while you're flushing it down. Indeed. You know, we do have an internship program at Horn Labs, and you don't even have to have any scientific experience, brethren and sistren, because, well, there's really no science that goes on at Horn Labs any more than there's any actual science going on at any of the other places. They're ginning out nutritional supplements for radio programs all across Merca. Nope, you don't. And you know what? For helping out with the latest Horn Labs proprietary priapic prune product, well, Rico will get a percentage of the zero profits that we take in, because of course priapic prunes from Horn Labs is just another bullshit nutritional supplement. Like all the other bullshit nutritional supplements that are offered on radio programs all across the country, You just have to have a bullshit nutritional supplement if you want to be considered a real, live, honest-to-goodness radio program. So try it. It's just $103.15 for a three-month supply of Priapic prunes from Horn Labs. And by Jiminy, if you order now, operators aren't standing by, if you order now, we'll send you a little meaningless bundle of absolutely useless test strips so that you can test your Priapic prunes from Horn Labs to make sure that they have absolutely zero nutritional value, just like we tell you here at the Cathedral. Priapic prunes from Horn Labs. You know, I've never cared much for prunes, and only through Priapic prunes can I get a belly full of Priapic prune goodness each and every day. Priapic prunes from Horn Labs, courtesy of Rico, stiff and flowing like the banner of the new United States of America up in the Horn Labs satellite office in DeBerg. Absolutely, absolutely. Accept no substitutes, use no hooks, post no bills. Tote that barge, lift that bale, FOB, COD, CBS, MONEY. That's right, that's right. Priapic prunes only from Horn Labs. Yes, 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 I understand, Brother Deacon Asa. But Cardinal Kincaid, do Priapic prunes help a Brother Deacon muster up a four-hour sconge, something fierce? That's the $69 question. No, it's a $105.17 question, Brother Deacon Asa, and you can be absolutely certain that if that's what you need Priapic prunes to do, Priapic prunes will not, I mean, will do it, or not, depending. You know, we've probably got a supplement for Mrs. Sister Deacon Asa that she can maybe put in your coffee and make sure that those problems just don't roll around anymore. No, absolutely not. Priapic prunes only from Horn Labs. And as you can tell, I am absolutely charged up for this evening's Help Glory Prayer Meeting Wednesday, all thanks to Priapic prunes from Horn Labs. Why, yes, I think I'll have another, please. It's so much easier than actually having to consume real, you know, prunes. Note coming in from Jack in Shreveport, subject line supplement. Dang it, Bob, every time you say Rico during that Horn Labs promo, I think of Starship Troopers. Rico! I tend to think of the Untouchables. Rico! Yes, boss. Hi, Rico. Glad you're feeling better, my friend. Keep on the mend, please. Don't worry, Silent R. Lamar, it will be back. it's tough that way. The observation coming in from Randy in PA. You're from all of those religions, yet you don't get all of those holidays off. Not a blessed one. But I also don't have to do the stupid things that those religions do either, like not eat. Or wear silly hats, or, you know, have things cut on, sliced on, chopped on, or, you know, be careful of which way my head's pointing when I lay down or anything like that. You know, into each, you know, it's you take the bitter with the sweet and the rain with the sun.
Right.
And besides, it's missionary work, and missionaries don't get days off. Okay, so, I'm glad to know it. Black Sheep in the chat room says, finally got to not be driving during the program, too. That's probably a good thing. A query coming from Ron and Raleigh. Hey, Bob, where do you put those test strips? Anywhere you want to. Because anywhere you put them, you're going to get the same result. Absolutely nothing. Because, of course, priapic prunes from Horn Labs have no nutritional value whatsoever, any more than any of the other bullshit supplements being hustled out there on radio programs all over America do. Just saying. I mean, do people really buy their vitamins from radio programs? Before we get into the meat of prayer meeting Wednesday, just a question. Do they? Isn't that like buying shoes at a butcher shop? Or buying real drugs at, say, a car lot from a car salesman? So it's time to move into the meat of the program. And with that in mind, it's been a while since we've heard from him. So let's check in, if you don't care. Let's check in with the Pope of Pentecostalism, former liquor supply officer, Marion Robertson. Because Marion is beginning to get right worried about all these here sexual harassment allegations that are out there. Tell us about it, your unholiness.
Is going to stop
years
this.
Ago, we had a makeup lady working here at CBN, and she had previously worked on a show called Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, Hawaii 5-0.
The old
version. Yeah, the old version.
And she said we were expected as staff members to provide, quote, sexual favors.
I'm sorry, earworm. He said Hawaii 5-0. I heard two things. And book 'em, Dano. Murder one.
To guests who came on the show.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, and I said that was standard stuff. They were expected to do that. And I'm afraid that there were so many young starlets. This was standard stuff that they were expected to give sexual favors to high-powered executives in Hollywood. I mean, that was standard stuff. Now it's looked on as shocking, but, folks, it's been happening a long time, and nobody said anything about it. Now they're finally wising up, but I just hate to see some.
Or what Marion likes to refer to as the good old days.
These men's careers, I mean, guys like Charlie Rose, these are terrific people, and I hate to see it happen.
It is shocking, and you know, you hope that the allegations aren't as severe as being reported. We don't know the facts yet. We don't know if this is just one woman's account versus Matt Lauer. We don't know, but you know, we just
these
pray.
Guys don't have a trial either. They don't have the rules of evidence to force these accusers to come forward with you know, the preponderance of evidence is what you'd get in a trial. You don't have that now, so. These people's careers are being ruined, and we just hope and pray that the women are telling the truth. But this Me Too thing, let me get in and do it. You got Roy Moore down in Alabama. He said, I didn't do any of it. Well, that's his statement. And they've got these people who are claiming he did, and he said, I didn't. So, you know.
Well, in a case like, you know, Harvey Weinstein or somebody like that, so many women, you can't even count them.
That's true.
Then you know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Well, anyhow, that's, I'm sorry. Well, let's go away from that.
Let's go away from that. But, and I don't think I've ever said this before. And I don't like saying it now. But there may be an iota of truth in what former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson had to say there. And I may piss some people off when I say this. But it is almost statistically impossible that somewhere, someone somewhere along the way isn't going to make up one of these stories. This morning I woke up and it was Matt Lauer. And apparently Matt Lauer is just a nasty, creepy, dirty joke-telling, grabby, gropey yuck. And later in the afternoon, it was Garrison Keillor's turn. Yes, as a matter of fact, Arthur, I know it's going to come as a total surprise, but Marion Robertson is a lawyer. He's a lawyer, law school graduate. But the law is not nearly the license to print money that the religion industry is. So, and you know, and God only knows who Marion has groped along the way. But like I said, this afternoon it was Garrison Keillor's turn. Garrison Keillor got fired by Minnesota Public Radio today. Garrison Keillor, who told us all about the good upstanding fine people of the Lake Wobegon community there in Minnesota. Yes, Minnesota. Gotta say it like that, soda. But he says, no, there's more to the story than meets the eye, but he said he's not going to make a big mess out of it. He's 75 years old, and, well, he's got his. Of the woman who accused him, he did say that he apologized if he had done anything wrong, and she said not to worry about it, and it wasn't a problem. And he said they continued talking and were friends right up till the minute her lawyer called. Well, but the fact of the matter is, somewhere along the way, it's impossible that somebody's not going to make up one of these stories. And in saying, I can say that, and I don't mean to anger anybody, but I can say that with absolute certainty, because it's already happened. Okay? It has already happened. And it was deliberate. And it was probably deliberate on multiple levels. When that convicted criminal, that nasty little troll, James O'Keefe, who is funded to the tune of millions of dollars by charities controlled by the Koch brothers, no kidding. When he sent a woman out to lie about a sexual assault, a pregnancy, and an abortion, he proved what Republicans have said all along, that these women are just lying. Truth ain't in them. These are the daughters of Eve who brought sin into the world in the first place. I mean, it happened. It's real. And he was willing to have a woman to suborn and coerce, no, not coerce, what's the word I'm looking for? Solicit falsehood from a woman over sex with Roy Moore. In an effort to smear the other women by virtue of association with her, even though they did not know her, had no knowledge of her. But that was the plan. And so, because of the actions of James O'Keefe, without whom the planet would obviously be a better place, should he never have been born, because of the actions of James O'Keefe, every time a woman steps forward now, it is a factual thing to say, well, at least one woman has lied about a sexual assault. And in the mind of people who want to think that way, they then get to say, well, gosh, how many others are there? Now, granted, James O'Keefe and his vile, filthy, disgusting little organization of liars and grifters, they got busted by the Washington Post. But that's because places like the Washington Post and the New York Times, the L.A. Times, the major newspapers that still considered journalism to be a semi-sacred trust, they still have enough payroll that they can pay editors and copy editors who are in turn paid to fact-check things before they go out into print. And that was James O'Keefe's mistake. Had James O'Keefe gone to the Johnson City moral volcano and battle cry of freedom, he probably could have gotten the story in like that. Because the copy editors are gone and the real editorial functions are gone. And in many ways, most of the fundamentals of real journalism are gone. Witness, for instance, I mean, we had our fun a couple of weeks ago. We had our fun with the sex clams. That came from the newspaper that I grew up reading. That newspaper is owned by the New York Times. But it is quite obvious that there at the Times Daily, there is not a real live, honest-to-God copy editor whose job is to look closely at every headline. And, you know, write them most of the time. And so you get sex clams. And I'm sorry. The Horn Labs is completely sold out of sex clams and probably won't be, we won't be getting any more because they're terribly hard to come by. Ron in Raleigh points out, James O'Keefe is giving a speech at SMU, Southern Methodist University, this very evening, sponsored by a Young Republican organization. And yeah, that's true. That's true. Arthur says, I suspect there's always been people who lie about sexual assault. It's just a tiny, 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 tiny percentage of all the people who report being assaulted. Absolutely true. So, but that's disturbing. When I woke up this morning, the for-profit media world was rocked to its very core by the Matt Lauer allegations. Details of which are beginning to emerge somehow or another. NBC was able to take action before anybody could go to press with it. Apparently, Vanity Fair was already working on a story. As the co-host of NBC's Today, Matt Lauer once gave a colleague a sex toy as a present. It included an explicit note about how he wanted to use it on her, which left her mortified. On another day, he summoned a different female employee to his office and then dropped his pants, showing her his penis. After the employee declined to do anything, visibly shaken, he reprimanded her for not engaging in a sexual act. He would sometimes quiz female producers about who they'd slept with, offering to trade names. And he loved to engage in a crass quiz game with men and women in the office called Fuck, Marry, or Kill, in which he would identify the female co-hosts that he'd most like to sleep with. I suspect he didn't want to sleep with them at all. But maybe that's just because I'm cynical. I suspect there were no naps whatsoever contemplated. I think he probably just wanted to have sex with them. Just. But, and I come back to this. And I don't want to be thought poorly of for this. But this feels like, this is like, it's like when you get that tickle in the back of your throat before you start getting sick. Or when you get an itch that you can't quite reach. And you can't do what Gordo the dog does on the couch. In comic book terms, it's described as having one's spidey sense tingle. And it keeps on tingling. I'm sorry, but it does. I mean, no sooner was the word out, Geezer Disgustus was tweeting about this so fast this morning, it was almost like somebody told him it was going to happen before anybody else knew. And I'm beginning to wonder if that's the case. Incidentally, and look, I do not ever want to be considered in the same light as Alex Jones. And I'm not hollering false flag. But it feels like there's an operation at work here that can only be accomplished at the highest level and with the most profound access to resources. Garrison Keillor got canned today. You know what Garrison Keillor did last week? Garrison Keillor wrote an op-ed in which he strenuously argued that Al Franken should not resign. Coincidence? Well, they do happen. But I want to add one more thing into the mix, and this was in the news a few days ago. Joe Barton, the longest-serving member of the entire congressional delegation from Texas, which has a lot of members. Probably ought not use the word members. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Factoid says Brother Deacon Asa, James O'Keefe draws a $350,000 salary from that sewer of an operation, Project Veritas. And we can barely keep the horn on the air for under $50,000. Yep. Oh, and by the way, the plates keep passing, and they keep cronking and bonking. But so far, it's a right slow night, but thank you very kindly to Karen. Thank you, Karen, very, very much. Our 355 just turned into 340. $340 to go to finish November, and if we can knock down the 340 this evening, then it's a fundraising-free Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow. Yeah. So, just, you know, bear that in mind. Karen in Ohio, thank you so much. No, Joe Barton. Now, this guy is apparently a real sleaze merchant. I mean, big time nasty. so nasty, in fact, that an anonymous Twitter account in the last week or so put out a photograph that Joe Barton took of himself, of his own penis, and the great mound of his pale, pasty, distended abdomen, as well as apparently some about C-cup man boobs that he had sent to somebody with whom he was having sex several years ago, including the accompanying text that said, "Ooh, baby, so hard for you, want you so bad." You know what isn't everywhere you turn in the for-profit media? Some enterprising young TV journalist asking, "Why hasn't Joe Barton resigned?" Caitlin Collins, for instance, of CNN, who stated that Al Franken is, and I quote, "accused of sexual assault," which he isn't. And is asked why he hasn't resigned, Franken. She hasn't asked why Joe Barton hasn't resigned. You don't see an expurgated version of the Joe Barton dick pic every time you turn on the television. Okay, early cowbell. Arthur noting, "Ew, Bob, some of us are trying to cook meth here." Joe Barton's body description. "It's radio. If I don't describe it, you got, you know." And it turns out Joe Barton is a real creeper with a history. He's on wife number 3 now. Because, of course, he supports good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian marriage between one man and one woe man at a time. Lather, rinse, repeat. Well, thank you. Thank you, hung like Jesus. Bob, you made me spit just now. That was the funniest thing I've heard all day. I'm glad I can help. All we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it. But I through the course of the day, I scan CNN, HLN, MSNBC, CNBC. I never go to Fox because I like my brain, and I don't want it to turn into viscous goo and run out my ears. But I never see any stories about, "It's day 7 and Joe Barton of Texas still has not resigned." Hell, he hasn't even said he's not going to run in 2018. And I'm sorry. That makes me feel a little conspiracy-ish. So, you know, if you need to come out on the ledge with me here in a little bit, and we just chat through it and talk it over and get past it, that's okay. I don't want you to think that I don't want anybody thinking that I don't think these allegations are real. I am not saying that at all. Let me be 100% clear. But it feels like an unseen hand is at work. Because what's been the effect of all this? Take the focus off of Roy Moore. But more importantly, take the focus completely away from the 13 to 16 women who have said, in some under oath, that they were raped, assaulted, abused, groped, leered at, dirty talked to, and all points in between by the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And either the for-profit media are doing a terrible job at this, or something, you know, something is rotten, or some sort of unseen hand is moving. I don't know. Is anything? Do you just take all this at face value? And you know what? It's pretty easy to take it all at face value. Just assume that that if there are multi-millionaire, high-paid men out there, that at some point in time they've done something sleazy and nasty with their dinguses, because that's what millionaire men apparently do. Laurel with a philosophical observation. This is what happens when you try to wage a sewer war with a horde of sewer rats. You play at their game, you will lose every time. In the midst of this, though, I would like to add one thing. I still believe Anita Hill. I still believe Anita Hill. And frankly, if we had a Congress that operated within the parameters designed for it in the Constitution of the United States, the Senate Judiciary Committee would be reopening the investigation of Clarence Thomas. For those of you who may not recall, and no, they are not admissible in court, but when Anita Hill made her allegations about the sexual harassment to which she was subjected by then Supreme Court nominee Clarence Slappy Thomas, they said, "Well, all right, Miss Hill. That's well and good, little lady. I bet you won't take a polygraph test, a lie detector test, will you?" She said, "Oh, yes, I will." And she took that polygraph test. Again, inadmissible in court. Deeply flawed technology. Mainly used as a tool for extracting confessions by law enforcement agencies. But she sat down and she took a polygraph test, and guess what? Anita Hill passed with flying colors. The witness that she bore regarding pubic hairs on Coke cans and Clarence Thomas's bragging about the size of his dingus and comparing himself to a porn star by the name of Long Dong Silver. It all passed the polygraph. Clarence Thomas, however, would not take a polygraph test. The chief hatchet man in all of this was a vile, hypocritical Mormon charlatan by the name of Orrin Hatch. But there were others, too. What's his name? From Pennsylvania, since dead. The magic bullet guy. And frankly, the entire Republican Party. And they tried to destroy Anita Hill. And while it is true that justice delayed is justice denied, it is also true that justice denied can become justice revived. Clarence Thomas should absolutely resign from the Supreme Court of the United States, and every opinion he has ever written should be stricken from the record. Every opinion on which he has concurred or dissented, every judicial act he has taken while on the Supreme Court of the United States should be stricken from the record as though it never happened, as though it were fruit from a poisonous tree or a pube from a poisonous Coke can. Arlen Specter, thank you. Thank you to Scott and Steve both. There we go. I still believe in Anita Hill. I'm not going to stop believing in Anita Hill. And of course, we've found out since that, ethics is not something that Clarence Slappy Thomas has in much abundance. Heather noting, there's a song called Body Like a Back Road. Joe Barton's body looks like a truck couldn't even run over it. Ew. And now there's more about Joe Barton. A woman named Kelly Cannon has stepped forward and shared Facebook messages she received from Joe Barton back at a time when she was married, 2012 to 2013. At one point, Joe Barton said, "Are you wearing a tank top only and no panties?" Yeah. Of course, after the, obscene photo came out, Joe Barton said, he apologized. He said it was a case of bad judgment. You know, it's no different than that picture that Al Franken took. Kelly Cannon said, "He was very fascinated with my attire to the point of being inappropriate." And at the risk of ruining people's meals this evening, at one point, Joe Barton messaged Kelly Cannon and said, "What you are wearing or not wearing tonight, Miss Sweet Dreams?" That was long about midnight. Asked about it, Joe Barton sent a text message back and said, "I will affirm I did have that exchange, but nothing more." And in a statement today, he said, "While separated from my second wife prior to the divorce, I had sexual relationship with other mature adult women. Each was consensual. Those relationships have ended. I'm sorry I did not use better judgment during those days. I'm sorry that I let my constituents down. Yeah, right, yes, yes, the angry Indian reminding me. No, Brother Bob, he's the victim of a crime. Funny how little traction this is getting. I don't think there's any Matt Lauer photos. I don't think there are any Charlie Rose photos. I don't think there are any Harvey Weinstein photos or Kevin Spacey photos or Glenn Thrush photos or Mark Halperin photos. No Roy Moore photos except the one with him with his little tiny cowboy hat and his little tiny gun. But there's an actual photo of Joe Barton. You know what I haven't heard Joe Barton do? Call for an ethics investigation of himself the way that Al Franken did. Just kind of beats all, doesn't it? Yeah. So like I said, I hope you'll forgive me when I say that there's something about this that just doesn't feel... there's something about this that feels manipulated. I know. All right, so sort of here endeth the lesson. I got other stuff, but we'll get into it after the break. 2 minutes past the hour. Again, we are sweating the end of the month once more. We've got 340 bucks to raise to finish the month of November. And I really don't want to go into tomorrow hoping against hope that we can lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky and cash the check. So if there's 34 folks out there with 10 bucks, that'd be huge. If y'all wanted to become subscribers tonight, that'd be even awesomer. And then the deacons could sit down and quit passing the plates back and forth and having coming up and mumbling in my ear about maybe it's time to lock the sanctuary doors and give everybody a glass of tea. No, we will never do that. Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee about still hasn't forgiven me for that. Had to bring in one of those service master, whatever, professional vans with the huge hoses and the dryers, and it was terrible, just terrible. So let's take a break. If you want to involve yourself in the program, you know how to do it. 304-574-8178 is the phone number. Or, from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. It all comes into the same place. And it's all exactly how we go about the business of creating conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
When I was a young boy, sniffed a lot of glue. Mom sent me to rehab, told me what to do. I didn't have much money, the Lord picked up the tab. Made me write a love song sitting in my room. Now I just drink whiskey, drive around my friends, get a
I've been doing just fine. Psychiatrists tell me so. My scars are patched up, my arms have almost healed. Demons almost tranquilized, pain's almost killed. Me and old Jack Daniels become the best of friends. We got all them Baptists to die for our sins. I know the Lord is coming, south will rise again.
Drive-by truckers, dead, drunk, and naked. Somehow that just seemed appropriate to the moment, and, well, by Jove, I think it was. So, 9 minutes past the hour, and let's run over and check in, because he was trying to get into the program last night, and I hate it that he wasn't able, but looky there, it's our buddy.
Congress, we have a moral.
Hello?
Yeah, it's our buddy, good Todd in South Carolina. What's happening, Todd?
Hey, man, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I did. I heard somebody else for a minute there, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was on the street, and I was just coming back from walking the dog, and I kind of didn't want to miss my slot. And I might want to switch my device, talking device. But, yo, man, that's a whole lot of stuff going on. Jen last night, what is up with this? So much going on.
Jim was just on fire last night.
Jim blew it up last night. Like you said, that was one for the ages last night. That was.
I was still getting emails and messages and stuff about that damn Trumpy bear.
That's what I'm. then look, I'm gonna say this. Now I feel like I kind of know you. All right. So if you bring up Trumpite. No, you know, Temporite, whatever the hell.
Oh, Tannerite? Yeah.
Yeah, if you bring that up, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, come on. It begs. But I'm like, this could be a YouTube phenomenon. You know?
You shoot the video, you find the secret slot, and you pull out the American flag-styled blankie. In the ad, they make a point of making sure not to call it an American flag. It's an American flag-style blankie. So you show that you're taking the American flag-style blankie out so that nobody can say you're doing anything bad to the flag. And then you show in the video how you pour the Tannerite in, and then you close the pouch back up, and you sit Trumpy Bear in his favorite chair, and you get about 500 yards away with maybe a 300 mag with a 4.5x14 scope set at two inches at 400 yards, and you just lob in around and watch Trumpy Bear blow all the hail. That thing would get a billion gazillion YouTube views in a minute.
The potential is there. It's limitless.
And I don't think it would be illegal. The Tannerite isn't. God knows the rifle isn't.
I don't think
they've made metaphor illegal in the United States yet. If it even is a metaphor, it could just be a protest against a peaceful protest against crass consumerism.
I don't discount the theory that I heard you propose last night, where it could be someone who's not in that Trump camp. You know what? I'm gonna make some money off of these baboons.
Well, I mean, the damned ad is just too heavy-handed. It's too onion-esque.
Right.
I mean, over at the New Yorker, Andy Borowitz could not get away with that.
Right, exactly. You have to come from the back door with that kind of stuff. You can't come full frontal with that. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. It makes perfect sense.
But and see, I started thinking, you know, because I don't have TV, I don't have cable or anything. So when I'm traveling, I'm in the hotel, I'm looking at, like, first of all, the History Channel is not what, when I was coming up in the 80s, man, I used to love the History Channel. And now it's all fucked up. It's all about guns and war and all kind of bullshit and picker. How the fuck does picking shit like garbage, like Fred Sanford traveling around in the goddamn van? What does that have to do with the History Channel? What the fuck? What did that have? They fucked that shit up.
Long time ago.
I was pissed the fuck. I cannot tell you how pissed the fuck off I was.
Well, oh look, when A&E started, it was the All Hitler Network. And then they moved it over to the History Channel, and the History Channel became the All Hitler Network. And it was, you know, what's going on with your microphone, Todd?
I said, because I got the cheap one in there. I just walked in. I'm about to switch it up because it's substandard. And like I was telling you one time when I called, folks, when you get these casual earbuds, most of them are 10 to 10. 10, I think it's megahertz, 10 megahertz to 10 megahertz. Is that the right?
I wouldn't know. I don't use them.
Okay. Well, you never use earbuds when you're walking around or doing stuff?
I've got a pair of Bluetooth cans.
Oh.
But my favorite thing, I've got wired in-ear monitors. So like for doing weed eating and stuff, they're actually molded to my inner ear. So, and you don't hear nothing except what you want to hear.
That's beyond the isolating. That where is the isolating?
Yeah, that's passive noise cancellation.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So I'm not up to that grade yet. I get the kind that, you know, they have the nice soft cups where you can't really hear anything.
Yeah.
But the last pair I got, I think I look for them again. I don't, they come out of China, the Q Electronics, but they're they're 10 to 20 so that you get the real base. I mean, because if you really look at the back, like you could spend $50, you could spend $10.
Oh, you mean like 10 hertz to 20,000 or 20 hertz to 20,000?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, honest to God, the best that I've heard on this program in a long time was the unit that our buddy John the trucker was using a couple of weeks ago. It was absolutely noiseless. Brother Deacon Asa, who's been an audiophile, said the best he's ever heard.
I heard that, and he said he got him at the truck stop or something like that. I did hear John talking about that. Okay. I'm going to switch out. Don't go away.
I'm not going anywhere, Todd.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I heard him say that.
Oh, and by the way, Jim sends his regards and thanks you for your kind words.
Hi, Jim. That's nice to hear. Jim and Johnny. Okay. Anyway, hey man, it's a small world. It's interesting because you can spend $10 or $50 and you're still getting the same frequency response. And
the question is the degree to which they meet that response, because a whole bunch of that spectrum a human being can't hear anyway.
I will say this, when I finally started working and got enough money to buy some decent speakers, when you're always around cheap speakers, you don't know any different. But then when you hang around like people who got Polk and JBLs and this and that, and so that changed my whole thing. So once I finally got some money, I was like, oh, fuck that. And then I learned from people, I was like, when you get ready to build a system, put most of your money.
You mean like Klipsch before they moved to China?
I don't know about Klipsch, but
I'm not a big Bose guy myself. It's like, because Bose is just all bass.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do like that treble. Call me crazy.
Well, you have to. I think the balance is where. I mean, you want natural, so you need the full spectrum. You need everything. Which is why I always like. I always had a tweeter. Like Radio Shack used to have these piezoelectric tweeters. Not piezoelectric. But these tweeters you could add on.
Right, yeah.
And I would add those on. And that was nice till somebody stole them. But, anyway, yeah. And so then you learn, you always want to go to heavy magnets. If you got a heavy magnet, that's a good sign. But, oh, my goodness. You and Jim, man, that was a really nice conversation you guys were having this. That was really good. But it's come to my attention that there has been, I forget the governing body, but I know you're quite familiar with the periodic table, right?
Yes. Well.
Okay.
Reasonably so.
Well, yeah. Well, everybody, anybody who's been to school, I guess, when you go to chemistry class or whatever, you see the periodic table on the wall. It shows all the elements. So someone has gotten a piece of Trump's skin or hair or something and boiled it down. And
there went somebody else's dinner.
They found that when they concentrated it and they got near it, it was like they were losing their intellect. Then they tested it and they were like, oh my God, this is a new element. And then, so they're adding this to the periodic table. It's called ignoramium.
I knew there had to be something coming.
It was coming, man. So I'm just saying, it could be true.
Definitely not a noble gas.
That was good. It's not a noble gas. It's not xenon. No, it's not a noble gas. No.
Now, speaking of noble gases, though, I got my heart broken the other day. I'm a little slow to internet phenomena. Never mind. So I guess it goes back. Thank you. Wait a minute. Cowbell for the proper call and response there, Todd. This man's been to church, people. So it goes back to April, but then it got picked up again in August. I even shared it with somebody. You know, I don't get to enjoy beer anymore, but I saw this video that was purportedly of a couple of German guys drinking helium beer. Beer that had been carbonated, as it were, with helium, so that when they drank it, they got the helium voice, the Munchkin voice. And I thought, oh my God, wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah, because all of a sudden they were haben sein to each other in that high Munchkin voice. And I thought, son of a bitch, man, the world needs this. Well, it turns out it was a prank. It turns out it was a joke, and you can't carbonate stuff with helium the way you can with CO2 and nitrogen. Damn it! Sometimes I just hate the way the natural world works.
That would be fun, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, I was ready to go.
Well, the bars are selling. I was talking to my sweetie and my whatever she is, my wife, my sweetie, my woman, whatever. And back home, and she was saying she's drinking absinthe now. They're serving that in the bars. That has nothing to do with helium, but I was always curious about that. But she said it's kind of, you know, you sit in the car, do your little pre-party, and then go in and drink it. It's kind of something to it, you know. But, that's funny, though. You never know, man. Somebody's going to do that.
It's physically impossible to do the helium beer. It just cannot within the laws of the rules of, you know, Boyle's gas laws and physics and chemistry and the known universe. It cannot happen. So it's not even worth dreaming about. By the way, speaking of the Trump element that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, I just had a note from Jason.
You mean ignoranium?
Yeah. They isolated another element from that same sample. It's an ignoble gas. It's an ignoble gas called krypton. You guys are busy tonight.
It's got legs, man. Dude, I'm telling you, it has legs. It has legs. This has legs. Oh my God, this has legs. Oh, so. So while we're in this vein, our friend the hillbilly harlot, Huxtable, apparently she's made another enemy with the American dairy industry. And I'm about to go in the gutter, so just get ready.
Okay. Time check. 23 minutes past 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, November 29th, 2017. And yes, we are headed for the gutter. Oh, let me get a quick thank you out. Thanks very kind to John. Thanks, John, for taking us down to $330 to go this evening. Thank you, John. Thank you so much. So, okay.
Thank you, John.
Into the gutter, Todd. Into the gutter.
Okay. Yeah. So the American dairy industry is a little bit irritated with Sarah Huxtable because apparently she's competing with the cottage cheese industry. She's got this raging yeast infection. It just won't quit.
No, that's not in the gutter. That's into the nausearium.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. And my delivery may be off, but I'm just saying. Do you remember, and the reason I brought it up is because I kind of felt bad last time we talked. You know, we covered a lot of different types of areas and ground and whatnot. And
you just flat don't like Sarah Hustlebuck sandbags.
You know, I have to refrain from calling her a bitch every, like, 3 milliseconds. I really do. Because for a lot of reasons.
Well, you know, and I understand because that's got kind of a gender aspect to it. Why don't you just call her a turd?
She's a turdish dick.
See,
women can be dicks. We just got
to get the gender. She's a turd.
She's a turd. She really, yeah, a turd is good because they smell too. Like a cat turd. Mm.
No, she's one of those that won't sink. It just kind of floats there, and you got to work to flush it. Sometimes it takes two or three times.
Oh, she's Mrs. Hankey?
That's Ms. Hankey. God damn it.
Ms. Hankey to you. No, I mean, come on. Remember I was railing on her, and then all of a sudden, I hate to, everybody in the media now, all of a sudden, they're like, wait a minute. This woman's taking oaths. I'm like, yeah, well, that's why I've been calling her these names all this time. You know? Once I found out that she had to take the oath.
You know the worst name you could call her? And I'm not kidding. It's prayer meeting Wednesday, so this fits. The worst thing you could call, at least as far as she's concerned, the worst thing you could call Mike Huckabee's daughter is atheist. And you know what? She is. With every word that vomits out of her gob, she proves that she is an atheist. She doesn't believe in any of the tenets of her religion, because if she did, she would not violate her religion's commandments every time that gob swings open.
I cannot argue with you. And you see, well, you know, black people have a real problem with this First Baptist Church type people anyway, because these are the same folks who, they're the Klan people with the tie, you know, they're city fathers that, don't get me started. It's just really disgusting. It's like, well, you call yourself a Christian. Okay. Like, whatever you want. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. Good for you. When are you going to do something about those other people calling themselves Christians? When are you going to put some philosophical space between you and them? When are you going to say that you're going to go to the pearly gates, but those fuckers over there, oh, no, they're going to roast in hell, and you're going to tease them with ice water outside the gates? When are you going to do that, good Christians?
Right.
I need to add a correction real quick, though. I said Lauer, Matt Lauer's whole nasty business was under investigation by Vanity Fair. I was wrong. Darlene in Connecticut reminds me that per decider, the 2-month-long investigation into Lauer's sexual harassment of and all-around despicable behavior toward female colleagues was done by Variety, not Vanity Fair. That makes sense, and I think that's actually what I saw, but Vanity Fair was what came off the brain cell, and I apologize. Thank you. Thank you for thanks for the heads up there, Darlene. I do appreciate it.
Oh, you're serious? Okay.
Yeah, it was Variety. So I want
to entertainment,
and I want to address a note that just came because you know we're being shallow right now because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. But I want to address a note here that I just got from Laurel up there in southwest Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Laurel says, if I had the power of controlling every mind on our side of the aisle, nobody over here would be talking about sex. Everybody over here would be screaming about the devastating GOP tax cut bill. I understand that, and I'll bet you there's a whole bunch of radio programs that's already done that. I bet they've been screaming all day long. But the fact of the matter is, you can scream till hell freezes over. There's not a damn thing that any progressive can do to make a couple of Republicans jump ship, all right?
Exactly. The damn thing
cleared a procedural hurdle in committee, but eventually it's going to come down to a floor vote, and we're all going to sit there holding our breath. I guess Susan Collins, you know, the vaunted moderate Republican from Maine, Susan Collins has said, I think I'm going to vote for it. Which means, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. And if they do it, then you know what? Then we know them for who they are as if we didn't already. I mean, we're fighting rearguard actions. I know that. We're trying to press, we're trying to hammer the bulges back out of the gates as the barbarians batter it. But the fact of the matter is, you know what the best way to keep this from happening is?
I have no idea.
Don't let the little bastards have power in the first place.
Well, that's, yeah, but that horse is gone. And now the horse is out of this, whatever it is. The horse is out of the barn or whatever. I mean, you know, so are you there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm here.
I know my phone just went. I'm going to attempt to plug it. Okay, so, yeah. So this is what haunts me. And I'm serious. Like, I'm among the people now who are physically ill over this whole scenario. I had kept it at bay for months and months. But now I'm having trouble sleeping because I can see where this is going now. And it's not good. Imagine they have every branch of government and they still can't, they haven't been able to do anything. How the fuck do you got every branch of government and you can't do shit?
Well, I mean,
now,
it just can't,
like,
you know,
oh, we can do something.
Thank your lucky stars. But you know, you talk about it, the toll, and I understand. I mean, I can't drink anymore. I'm at a point where I'm not going to go down the opioid route or anything, and speed will just blow me up. I'm seriously thinking about acid, and this is something I quit doing 30 years ago.
Well,
but you just to get away, just to
right.
You know, because Calgon ain't doing it. And
yeah, I hear you.
And
I
mean, I try really hard. I read a lot of history. I read
so
a lot.
My psyllium is not working, huh?
I read a lot, period. Just trying to get lost in some other somewhere.
Now for weeks before even the announcement yesterday, last night, but for a few weeks now, my gut, my whole just. The drumbeat of war is real war, like war we had not seen in a long time. I'm feeling it. I mean, I really don't want to get off on the tangent, but I'm fucking scared. We have an incompetent, mentally ill individual. And, you know, we've been saying he's mentally ill for like a year and a half. And now everybody else is like, well, there might be something wrong with him. Like, where the fuck were you? You know, where the fuck were you? Too late now, asshole. But anyway, it's time for a real leader, a real world leader, and we do not have that. We don't have it.
We don't have it in a large way. I got a screen cap from Mark down in Florida in the last hour of the program. Just a quick grab from CNN Politics. Red banner, white letters. The United Nations Security Council holds an emergency meeting after North Korea's latest missile launch. Headline, Haley, meaning Nimrata Haley, former governor of South Carolina. You'd know about her. Haley, North Korea has brought the world closer to war. Can we stop that shit, please?
You see?
See, we don't like the impotent feeling. And, hey, look, once again, we're going to bring male sexuality into it. Because, you know, all warfare...
But Horn Labs has a cure for that.
Yeah, all warfare is just dick measuring, okay? That's all it is, of one variety or another. And we can't stand, or not we, but the people who are in charge of the government, cannot stand being made to feel... unmasculine because the generals and the admirals and whatnot and the folks with the costumes with all the gaudy jewelry on it keep coming to them and saying, you know, there's no military solution to this, don't you? I mean, you really do know that. We're in a bottle here. Unless he does something like actually nukes somebody, we can't act first. Because the first firecracker that goes off, you know, a few million people are going to die in Seoul.
Right. We're in a place now. I really believe that we had like 5 weeks, maybe less than that, to get things together, because we had the wrong person in charge. He's sending the wrong message. You know, we have two mentally ill people, all right. North Korean leader and our, I'm not going to say the word leader, our whatever, our person in power. And remember, we have generals. We are no better than what used to be those African nations after the Europeans left and they adopted the terrible traits of the European conquerors.
All the bad and none of the good.
All the bad and none of the good. It's like, wow, just take on the worst traits you could from the Europeans and just roll with it. But maybe that's human nature for some people, for a lot of people. Everybody can't handle power. It takes an exceptional person to have that type of power and not be an asshole with it. See? And then we're back to the bell curve again, because exceptional, it's the two tail ends of the bell curve, right? And so it ain't going to happen. So now we're in this really truncated situation, time-wise, because... And like I said before, you see, you can translate things, but, you know, Eastern thought and Western thought are very different things. And I can totally see Trump talking with the leader of China saying, well, you know, you guys know each other. You're basically the same people. You got slanty eyes. You eat the same food. Talk to him. And he will be totally fucking serious. He will be totally fucking serious. Do you hear me?
I mean, I suspect that's why Obama's in Asia right now. You know, why does a former president go and have a sit down with somebody like Xi Jinping? In the case of Obama, I just want to remind you that presidents are only president for, you're going to be president for a long time till you die. Well, that's not how it works in America. So we've just got to get through this guy, and then we can get things settled down. So if we can just keep him from starting World War III, keep telling him, you know, okay, you betcha, sure thing, Joe, we'll be all right. But
yeah,
he's not going to be there forever.
Because it
is kind of unusual for the immediate past present to show up, president, to show up and take a meeting with, say, the maximum supreme leader, president, premier, king of China, like Trump says, within 2 weeks after the actual president being there. I mean, I don't recall that happening. I don't remember Bill Clinton showing up anywhere that W went immediately after he was there.
Wait a minute. Is this paradoxical or is this ironic? Because remember, let's all go in our way back machine. Now, in light of all these things that this Trump administration has been doing, remember, when the Russian people told him he was probably going to win, he started doing his presidential shit. He sent his minions all over the world, right, doing shit out of order. Totally out of process, as a social worker would say. Out of process. Remember?
Oh, yeah, I do.
So now we have the cleanup crew coming in on the other end. Because I had no idea. I mean, I don't remember that Obama group, but yeah, I'm glad he did. But, you know.
No, I mean, he's over there now.
Oh, this is current. Okay, contemporary. Okay. I had no idea. I don't know. I didn't know. I'm dealing with other shit. Okay, well, that's a good thing. You know, I mean, but I can imagine what the Fox News crowd is saying about that. You know. So, okay, well, that's a good thing.
That, yeah, exactly, and that's the point. See, that's why this is a temporary job, and this nonsense about this deep state is like, you know what? That's what keeps us different from the rest of the world, is that we're aircraft carrier you can imagine.
Well, look, I mean, okay, you just uttered that two word phrase. And you know, I don't start this program every evening with the expectation that everybody has to agree with me. They don't, and I mean, I don't think I even have to say that. But for me, mm-hmm. I can tell you that if I'm reading something, and I read a non-ironic reference to the deep state, I know I'm dealing with an idiot of a writer, and I just click, and it's gone. And they're on the right,
okay.
And they're on the extreme right, and they're on the extreme left, if you can call them that. I just tend to think of them as fucking fools. But the minute that phrase deep state gets used, a deep state is over there in that sort of the same sort of segregated word and phrase list with been ponerized. And,
okay, are you familiar with who wrote the book about that? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I am. But I'm not talking about.
Right,
I'm not talking. I can't tell you the name.
Peter Dale Scott.
Okay,
Dale Scott.
That's fine. But that's not
He's
my
a professor.
Point.
He, okay, but I'm saying they have corrupted this term.
Exactly.
Peter
exactly.
Dale,
you
they
take...
have corrupted this term because the deep state is really people like I used to be. The people who just go to work, they don't give a fuck. It's not about politics. It's about getting the job done. If something comes across your desk, and that's what you do.
Oh, you mean, okay, career civil servants?
Yes.
Well, but see, that's not what deep state means to the people who sit and mutter deep state to each other and track the course of fucking Bitcoin, all right? That's not what it means.
Well, that's because they're fucking, they're weirdos. That's just because they've taken the term.
Deep
they
state,
have, they
deep
have co-opted
state,
this term.
Deep state means, you know, deep state has fluid meanings. And to those people, it means that there's some sort of vast and dark and secret conspiracy that's keeping things from being the way they want it to be.
No. Let me, all right, I'm going to make this really quick. Okay, and this is factual. And if you don't believe me, you don't have to believe me, but you can do the research and you'll see what it's come through. If you're fucking cognizant, people who listen to this program know it's true. All right, it started with basically right after the OSS turned into the CIA. Okay, the Dulles brothers, they were like, man, we got free reign now. We can do some shit.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and they're like, okay, Congress doesn't want to work with us. All right, we got to figure out ways to get money in a black budget. You know what? Let's use dope. We can use dope. That's it. We'll use illicit drugs because that can't be tracked. You know, and now it's right back. That's one of the reasons we cannot leave Afghanistan, because it's like why would you walk away from that much money? That much money. Why would you walk? You did the same thing in Vietnam. Why would you walk away from that much money? What's old is new. What's new is old. It's the same shit. But they have to fund these wars. They kept saying, "What? Because I told you this 1,000 times. Like when I was in boarding school, we had the nuns come up from Central America, showing us what was going on between the Sandinistas and the Contras, and it was fucking ugly. And then we'd bring back these pictures, and it was ugly. And that was Reagan and Ollie North and all that. And that's when the cocaine scourge started. You couldn't get no man. I remember the weed dried up. We couldn't get man. I remember driving 50 miles to get a goddamn piece of shit that wasn't even real." It was like one person could smoke a joint and you still wouldn't get high.
Oh, but I remember.
There was cocaine everywhere.
I remember
under
the dry
bed,
spells.
Cocaine in the closet. Cocaine under the bed. Everywhere. I'm sorry.
I remember. Late 80s, it was a hell of a lot easier to get coke than it was to get weed.
Right. And it went from, like, it was like some really good weed. It was like, man, it was flowing.
Coke wasn't half bad either.
No, well, what? I mean,
know, long as it,
right,
long,
it
you know,
wasn't.
As long as it hadn't been walked all over.
Right. That was in the Peruvian flake era or whatever. I mean, it wasn't really my thing. But, you know, then I got sucked into that because it was like I tried to crack because,
I mean, my God, that's all there was. There was no weed. There was no weed. There was no weed. It was it shit is these young people, they don't understand it. And now, I mean, it was really a fucking mess. It was, and we still hadn't recovered from that, you know. It was, and now who knows? And now look at what we're dealing with. Look at this shit.
I know.
These little small towns are being devastated by fucking heroin.
I live in one of those. I really do. I live in one of those towns that's devastated by heroin. And it's crazy to me. I've been coming to this little town since I was born. And I've lived here for the last 20 years. I've lived here off and on longer than that. And
so right. So you're in a better picture
and so,
because you leave and come back.
Well, no, I mean, there were conscious decisions made. Agnes is just in the next room, and she could come in here and say, you know, Bob and I sat down when the kids were little, and we said, we're going to live here because it's small-town America, and our kids aren't going to have to face the kind of stuff that kids have to face growing up in big communities. What bullshit that turned out to be.
Man.
Because we turned out to be a goddamn market. And our attorney general was, you know, up to his eyeballs in lobbying for the pharma groups that dump the pills here. And most people don't realize, you know, what the progression of this was. At first, they unloaded pills all over Appalachia and, frankly, all over the country. But, man, they dumped them on us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So people start taking the pills because we got a lot of broke down, hurt people in this state.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guy in Washington looks up and says, oh my God, these pills are getting people addicted. We must do something about the pills. And the next thing you know, a bunch of people who are addicted to the pills and are actually getting relief from their pain can't get the goddamn pills anymore.
Right. Right.
And so a guy looks at him and says, hey, buddy. Can't get your pills? No, I can't get you any pills, man. But you know what? I can get you some heroin, and it's cheap.
Yep, and it's good.
And it's good.
You have to shoot.
It's good shit, man.
You can snort it.
And it's cheaper, and it works just as good. Here, try it. First one's free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the educational process whereby you teach a fucking 15-year-old how to use a rig and tie off and cook and shoot?
Man, Bob, that is what you just said. It's so fucking disgusting.
Well, it is, but it's goddamn real too. Not yelling at you, Todd. You know that.
No, I know. I don't even take it like that, man. Come on, you know us.
And the whole ball got rolling by thanks to a bunch of merciless capitalist goddamn Republicans like our attorney general, who was prattling on about how he wants to make sure there's never any laws about greenhouse gases again. Son of a bitch!
It's in your soda. CO2's not harmful. It's in your soda. That's what makes it sparkly.
I want that man to stand in a glass room that's filled with nothing but CO2 and tell us all about how safe CO2 is. I want him to yell it. I want him to talk it really fast.
Man. I don't even know how we got on the phone from this tangent. It's really...
Well, we were talking about drugs. And, you know, I said a few minutes ago that I was considering acid, and Scott and Punky wrote in and said, it'd have to be some incredibly amazing acid to produce results that are more surreal than what Trump and the GOP have been pumping out in real time. Yeah, and the fact is, I would never do that because, you know, I'm too stressed out. I'm too freaked out. I get freaked out every fucking day. And if I just popped a little hit of blotter or barrel in there, oh my God, the walls would have fucking teeth and knives growing out of them.
Well, you had to have a guide with you at this point if it's been that long.
I mean, I don't care if I had the most peaceful shaman from the Amazon interior sitting there going, it's going to be okay, Bob. It wouldn't be okay because it ain't, because reality ain't okay. I mean, I don't care if you had, I don't care if you had every song that Zamfir, the king of the pan fucking flute, has ever recorded playing while the trip was coming on. It would not be okay. So, you know, well, that's just me. And don't worry, it's not like I'm going to do that. No, I've got my little, like I said, I got my little Alex devices on, holding my eyelids open, and I'm just staring in wide-eyed horror at it all.
Hmm.
You know.
And the other thing that really that we need to look at is the hollowing out of the State Department. I mean, that's just one. It's just a million things. I just don't understand.
Oh no! Why, and pretty soon, I saw something. I just blew past it and went, "What?" Earlier today, I guess somewhere along the way, Rexon Tillerson said pretty soon we're not going to need a State Department because the Trump administration is going to solve all the global crises.
He didn't say that. That's crazy. He couldn't have said that.
I just blew by. I just kept going.
That's a fake. That can't be true.
Well, you know, it's possible.
Because, I don't know.
They may solve all the world's crises. How could you do that?
Yeah.
You know, global nuclear conflagration.
Right, exactly.
Crisis? Well, what crisis?
That's why I can't sleep. Man, I wake up now. I wake up at 3:30. I'm up. You know, I try to watch some movies. Man, I try to escape with the movies. Now, I never watched as many movies in my life. Oh, my God. You know, clean, whatever. Because I'm cognizant enough to know this shit. This is not going to end well. And see, we're in this box now. The crazy guy over there in North Korea. Come on, and now he won't even see if Trump kept his fucking mouth shut. At least we could have talked.
The guy gets up this morning and he's. And see, I know I'm being manipulated even as we're talking about it. But he gets up this morning and he tweets the 5-year-old anti-Muslim videos from a white nationalist fascist outfit in Great Britain it's the kind of shit that your uncle who barely knows how to use the internet sends around in emails, okay? He tweeted out 3 of those this morning. The president of the United States, straight up fascism, straight up totalitarianism, straight up race hate, straight up ethnic hate.
I heard about it.
And in a way, it sort of mirrors the Joe Barton stuff. And everybody goes, oh, well, that's Trump. Just like Joe Barton, it turns out there's a highly powerful chair of the House Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and he's tweeted out a dick pic, a really disgusting, fat, pasty, face, doughy, big, rounded, distended belly, man boobs dick pic. And the country goes, oh, well, you know, that's just Joe. He's a Republican. They get to do that. They're not trying to occupy the moral high ground. They just tell us that they're the ones with the Christian family values. It's okay.
Okay, Bob, you hit on
Paul fucking Ryan, okay? That guy's talking about sexual harassment earlier today, and he's clearly talking about John Conyers and Al Franken, and there's never a goddamn mention made of Joe Barton. Plus, and I just want to remind people of this, because the book I'm about to mention is a sort of Bible to hardcore right wing anarcho capitalists.
You talking about Paul Ryan's favorite book?
Paul Ryan's favorite book is Atlas Shrugged. Mm-hmm. And he bragged mm-hmm. about how he gave a copy to all of his young, you know, little teenage interns that come into his office.
Mm-hmm.
Young kids.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got a copy of Atlas Shrugged and was told they had to read it. All right? We got people out there banning To Kill a Mockingbird because of a certain word in it. You got school systems banning Huckleberry Finn because of a certain word in it. Kurt Vonnegut gets banned in school systems every year because of the word fuck, okay? But you got the Speaker of the House giving away free copies of Atlas Shrugged, and I took one for the team. I've actually not read that book once, but twice.
Mm-hmm.
And that
I remember
has,
you told me that. We
and,
got into it about
and
that.
And that has one of the weirdest, filthiest, kinkiest, nastiest, most revolting, badly written, that's not writing, that's typing, sex scenes in it, and he's handing it to teenagers. The Speaker of the House passes out a pornographic book to teenagers, and the for-profit media is out there going, well, you know, he's a Republican. We expect that of them.
Okay. See, Bob, once again, now I'm going back to where I don't feel well. And it's all about me right now. It's all about me and my health.
Crawl right up on the cross. There's an empty space.
I'm just kidding, like, halfway. But seriously, because all this shit used to not bother me at all. But now, I can see where these motherfuckers are going, and I'm very worried. Because you and I remember very clearly in the mid-late 80s when the old man, I forget his name, but the Walmart guy.
Sam Walton.
He was all about, buy American. And he made sure there were American goods in that damn Walmart store. Walmart was fucking cool. It was like, oh, this is they got American stuff.
I mean, they still treated their workers. They still treated their workers like shit. But yeah,
right. But that was a good place. Like people, like I had a friend. You know, we were in school together, or whatever, in college, and you know, he had worked his way up. He was a manager, blah blah blah. They were all about buy. It was the Republicans were all about buy American. Yeah, those same Republicans. Those same Republicans, everybody listening, when you're at the water cooler, if you work or wherever you go to the job, remind these motherfuckers, your party, that party was the one that said it's okay to subsidize shipping those jobs offshore. We will fucking pay you. You know, I'm sorry it cost you $1.3 million to move all your shit over to Mexico or China or wherever, Bolivia, wherever. We'll give you a tax break. We'll hook you up. Don't worry about it, because we know you're a good guy. Don't worry about it. That's what they fucking did. That's what they fucking did. Do you hear me?
I know.
Am I lying?
No. No, you're not. No.
Now, and that was in the 80s. So this didn't just start. This has been a slow progression, dumbing down. This is like a whole fucking, these people play the long game. Multi-pronged approach. Now, that's why a fork works, because it has tines in it. You know, you look at an old fork from the fucking colonial era. It had like fucking two tines.
Two tines, right.
Now, look at our forks now. You got two tines. I got a spear. I got a stick. You know, I'm eating with this fucking stick. You have a metal fork with two tines. You're high class. You know, now we have these. So anyway, that's, you know, multi tines. It, you know, more tines. You need more penetration. More penetration. That's what it means. You got more penetration into the market. So, Warren, when we have more tines, it's more.
You get more control.
You get more control. There's more vectors to get your fucking nastiness into the meat. And that's what they did. And now we're dealing with this shit. and they still vote for them. And if you tell them that, they're like, ah, they got some fucking excuse. You know?
Yeah. I mean, okay, let's go back to Roy Moore for a minute. So they keep doing polling in Alabama. The number of evangelicals in Alabama, and if there's ever been in doubt why I call them evangelicals, this ought to silence all the naysayers. The number of evangelicals in Alabama who said they were likely to support Roy Moore on December 12th has gone up, Todd, up.
Are you? I'm not surprised.
Since the allegations came down from the little girls that he groped. The latest polling was taken took place November 27th to 28th. It was released by JMC Analytics. 64% of self-identified Alabama evangelicals say they support Roy Moore over Doug Jones. And that is up 7 points from a similar poll that the same firm did earlier this month.
Regionalism. All right. They don't want to be. I live in the South and I'm not from here, but I see this shit. I can see it from a different perspective. They don't want to be told what to do. This is them. I'll be goddamn if I'm my hair from my Washington, D.C. tell me how to vote. Goddamn. But get real. I'm a vote twice. Goddamn it. Baby, get rid of past that dollar bourbon over there. Thanks. I'm a vote twice. Am I fucking wrong?
No, you're not. And that's the thing. 39% of the respondents to the same survey went so far as to say that they became more likely to support Roy Moore after they heard that he was a kiddie diddler. Now, these are the people who are right there at the First Baptist Church of Busted Knuckle, Alabama, every time the doors open. They sit there munching on their beans and their cornbread at fellowship dinner on Wednesday. And they say, and they look at each other and they talk and they say, have a blessed day.
Yep. Do it again, Bob. Do it again.
Have a blessed day.
I hate that shit. I hate that shit. That makes me want to smack a motherfucker in the mouth. Don't, bitch, you don't mean that. Shut the fuck up. Just don't say shit. Don't even talk to me. Have a blessed day. Like, you don't mean that shit. Just, you know, just
yeah, it's not even, I'm sorry, it's not even blessed. It's blessed. Have a blessed day. Or, and it gets real thick down there real fast, too. Hey, how you doing? I'm blessed. How are you?
Man. Look. We're in some dangerous territory because And you see these federal judges that this guy's appointing, like Cordray, you know, like I want to tell the dude up at the convenience store a block up next time I see him, like, yeah, you know, I see you can't fucking see because he's got one of these cross eyes or something wrong with his eyes. And like, yeah, you have you noticed if you have good credit, you know, if you fucking get a statement from one of your goddamn credit cards, if you even have one, if you notice that your explanatory statements, you know, they're much clearer, they're bigger print, you know, for the old folks so you can read, and they show you exactly if your interest rate is the same or it's gone up, that's because it's what Obama did. You know, that's a good thing. How? Wait a minute. I'm about to blow my fucking top right now. How in the fuck are these people relaxing regulations when we're on the heels of fucking all these people, all these, Wells Fargo and all these other motherfuckers stealing. I mean, if I fucking took a letter out of my neighbor's box and fucking did some shit like they do around here and signed up another account, that's fucking fraud. I mean, there's a lot of charges. You got mail fraud. You got, I mean, this is piling on. There's a lot of charges. Right? That's a lot of charges. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I do.
This is absolutely the wrong time for a tax cut for the corporations. Wrong time for relaxation of regulation.
Well, Adult 45 keeps tweeting about how the stock market's soaring. It doesn't seem that the current tax plan is doing anything harmful to corporate America, if that's the case.
No.
And there's no debate. There is no damn debate about what's going to happen to everybody who doesn't make $250,000 or even $100,000 a year. God alone knows, not $75,000 and not even $50,000 a year. There is no debate about what's going to happen to those people starting 2019, and they are going to have fucking nails in their palms and their feet come 2027. I'm throwing around too many dirty words. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, you need to, because listen, these are the most trying times that we've seen in our lifetime. Racially, I almost say racially, ethnically, all kinds of shit. Now, I mean, come on. Even the guy who devised that whole trickle-down shit,
David Stockman.
He admitted, he was like, yeah, well, you know, it wasn't a good idea. It really didn't work. If that's like Henry Ford saying, I built that car. It really wasn't a good car. Listen to the man. He built the car. Listen, this shit is not going to work.
Yeah, I want to go back to these Roy Moore numbers for a minute with you, if you don't care.
Go ahead.
Because I'm looking at a story in Think Progress, and there's this paragraph there. They're talking about the data, and they're talking about the poll numbers. And then along comes this paragraph, and this is one of those ones where you read it, and then you're gone. The headphones are flying off your ears, and you're through the door, and you're out in the yard, and you're eating dirt and running rabbits before you even knew what happened. And I'm going to have to use my nerd voice for this, okay? It's not immediately clear why Alabama evangelicals have taken this position, even although there are indications many voters in the state are skeptical of the allegations. A new Change Research poll released on Tuesday found that just 9% of Alabamians who voted for Donald Trump believe the allegations against Moore are credible. And see, the headphones were already coming off, Todd, right after, it's not immediately clear why Alabama evangelicals have taken this position. Well, maybe not clear to them who live in Washington, D.C. Hallelujah, glory, good for them. They live in civilization. But it is abundantly clear to me. Because I damned well don't. They are bigots. They are racists.
You're a former cult member. You know.
They're bigots. They're racists. They're homophobes. They're xenophobes. And they're hypocrites and charlatans. They are. I know this upsets the precious little purity patrol. They're not good people. Okay?
No.
They are not good people. Now on the other hand, however, if it turned out that maybe some guy with skin a little darker than a grocery store brown paper bag was to have looked cross-eyed at a 14-year-old white girl, these are the same folks that would look at each other and say, get a rope!
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
But their Christianity allows them to wink at anything that turns out to be inconvenient. You know, the biggest reason that these people say, oh, you know, I just can't vote for that Doug Jones. Yeah. Oh, I know, he put them poor Klansmen in prison for blowing up them little Negro children. But I just can't vote for him. You know why? Because he supports the abortions.
All right. See, this is where I have a real. When this is not, maybe no, that's a wrong statement. Let me say this. I have a real problem with everything. I totally agree with what you said, and that's why I have a real problem with looking at these people seriously, and which I have to look at every day because, you know, I write 501c3 grants. That's what I do. Oh, yeah. I write grants for nonprofits. And So I, you know, I deal with a lot of people. Sometimes they're like working grants for the city, and you got to deal with these people because that's where they go to church. First, anywhere in the South, the First Baptist Church is where all the people who run shit in the town. That's where they go to church. The sheriff and the police chief and you know anybody who does shit.
And the old families with the Jed Clampett money are well, they go to the local Episcopal outfit. If there is
right,
one.
Or the Methodist, right? You know, right, exactly. Yeah, and they have their own little infighting. You know, they look down. You know, I'm like, what? You know, it's all a bunch of bullshit. Which, it the whole thing is fucking. Even if you believe in God, or you don't. I mean, that's why I never really understood. But that's a whole other conversation. It's just all fucking weird. But you know, these people are insane, and. If you don't do shit their way, you're wrong in their eyes.
Well, it could be that, you know, if you just get saved and have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and give 10% and maybe 20% of everything you own to the church there, you know, you could probably get right with God and you'd understand why little wads of tissue are more important than little girls not getting blown up or groped by a creepy old, skeevy old, nasty old judge.
See, I almost got off of my tangent. Thank you, Bob, for bringing me back because it's so much. When I get nervous sometimes when I talk to you. Believe it or not, I get very nervous. I get intimidated by you.
After
all this time, and I'm being totally honest, after all this time. But yeah, you brought me back to where I was really kind of going with this. Is that how? It's like this, and I blame the media in a way. And what the fuck is this liberal media bullshit? What fucking liberal media? It's either right or it's wrong. It's either true or it's not. Now, and if you fucking try to tell them, well, you know, Fox News is everywhere because they made it where if you have cable, you got Fox News. Fox News is everywhere, 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 everywhere. It's not free. It'll be under your bed sheet if they let it. It'll be everywhere. They'll give that shit away. It doesn't fucking matter. And this, what is that study that showed that people who watch Fox News believe they know more about the news but actually admit they know that? Are you familiar? I know what you're.
Hey, let me take a minute. Let me take a minute here, because it's 12 past the hour. We still got $330 to go to close out November. That means $130 just to finish tonight, $200 to finish out tomorrow night. I was really kind of hoping we'd have a fundraising free Thorn in the Side Thursday and just kind of be done. Okay, but $330 to go on fundraising this evening. So that's that. But I want to take a break because we always do this, and it's good for your mental health, and it's good for my mental health. And based on the emails that I get, it's good for the Horn Family Community Congregation's mental health. Anything going on with some lovely, lovely smoky woods down that way lately? Give me a little help here, Todd. I'm trying, buddy.
I know you are, and I will say this. The yard guy came today, and he uncovered some issues. But so, yeah, you know, I keep the smoky chicken. Now we've got some turkey breast that was smoked, and I'm working on the rubs now, folks. I'm gonna tell you something. I was just about to make a point. You got me off on this tangent. I know you didn't want to hear any more about that, but there was one more thing I wanted to say, but you got me off on that. Oh, I know. Anyone would rather vote for an accused pedophile, because remember, those are accusations, and I'll get back to the proof. But those, and remember, that's the oldest trick in the book. Let's remember, because I remember the Scottsboro Boys. I remember a lot of stuff. Okay. Now, but Now, there's no evidence, but what there is evidence of, probably, in paperwork, is that how the hell did you get fucking banned from a mall?
Didn't happen.
Don't be sarcastic, Bob.
I'm not. That's what they're saying. It didn't happen. You know, that stupid little bastard gets on Twitter every now and goes, 14 days since Gloria Allred ain't turned over that high school yearbook. And every time I see it, I reply, sue her, dumbass. You're a lawyer.
No. Those are incongruent. No, I would not give over a yearbook either. Why would you give up your only piece of evidence?
No, Todd.
I'm talking about fucking evidence.
All he has to do, because that ain't my signature. All he has to do is sue her, and he will get it in discovery. They can do non-destructive testing till hell freezes over. But the problem, and this is important, the problem for Roy Moore with suing any of these women he's out there swearing up and down or telling lies on his fine, upstanding Christian character is that truth is an absolute defense. And just like when Anita Hill took that polygraph test, Clarence Thomas wasn't getting nowhere near that cuff and that graph paper and them little needles, because he would have been stone cold busted.
Yeah, but I don't ever do it. The polygraph don't mean shit. That's not.
It's garbage. But the principle is the same. If he wants that thing, if he wants that yearbook, he knows he can have it for the asking in discovery in a civil suit. All he has to do is sue Gloria Allred's client for defamation of character or anything else he wants to sue her for, I guess. You understand?
Okay. Right, I do. And what I'm saying is the only evidence I see so far, public evidence anybody can look at, if there is paperwork to prove that he was banned from law for, like, trolling for young girls.
There is no paperwork.
Well, then,
that never happened. Among other things, the Moore campaign said, well, the feller's dead, and I don't want to talk bad about the dead, but there was a feller that got banned from the mall, but it wasn't Roy, and he's gone now, and Mama said don't talk ill of the dead, just talk ill of the sluts.
All right, I'm glad you used that vernacular right there in the accent, because the real deal, we've gotten distracted, I think, on this Roy Moore thing. It wasn't like he was fucking a good guy before this shit. He was an asshole before all this shit. He was totally fucking, he had no, just like the Attorney General. He had no business anywhere near the goddamn place.
Wait, I got some breaking stupid. This is too good not to share. So I mentioned that Dolt 45 used his tiny little thumbs to tweet out those sleazy anti-Muslim videos earlier today, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, they're bullshit and 5 years old and everything I said. Well, Theresa May, who is not, you know, I'm not on her Christmas card list, nor she mine. Theresa May issued a statement from 10 Downing Street saying, well, the President of the United States was wrong to tweet those videos. And you know what? Theresa May is right. She was wrong. Trump was wrong to do it. Well, Herr Gruppenfuhrer is now all upset. He has an angry, and he has a sad. So he just tried to tweet, Theresa, don't focus on me. Focus on the destructive radical Islamic terrorism that is taking place within the United Kingdom. We are doing just fine. There's only one problem.
We're not.
He tweeted it to the wrong person, at Theresa May. He just, it's got to be like at Theresa May, just like I'm at real Donald J. Trump.
at Theresa May. Theresa, don't focus on me. Focus on God. And instead, so he sent it to at Theresa May, and that's actually the account belonging to a woman named Teresa Scrivener, who joined Twitter in February 2009 and has protected tweets. So then he hastily had to delete it. Oh, my God, I got to delete the tweet. And he deleted the tweet and then sent it to the right address. And you know what else is under his skin? Because I said a couple of nights ago, you know, this royal wedding thing, yeah, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. But it is being roundly speculated that Donald J. Trump will not be invited to that wedding, but Barack Obama will be. Because Barack and Michelle are like buds with Prince Billy, Prince Willie, and Prince Hank, and Princess Farfignugan, and you know that whole bizarre bunch. They're buds, and I suspect that Tangerine Tiberius has already heard about that, and he's beginning to seethe. So now he's gonna, you know,
he's simmering.
I was walking through the basement of the Russell Senate Office Building a couple of weeks ago, and they've always got neat historical displays in the inset windows there behind glass, and so there was this display about, you know, when Great Britain burnt the capital of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I admit something. I looked at that, and I'm very much an American. Mm-hmm. And I get kind of red-assed about history. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know what? We never have returned the favor.
Oh, man. You didn't think that, did you?
Yeah, you know, one of these days we're going to have to do that just to get, you know, just, okay, we're even now. Yeah, you thought we forgot, didn't you?
Just to fuck with them. Just let them know we're still around. Like, we didn't forget, right?
But you know, I immediately went, Bob, that's nuts. Yeah, but we're America. Rockets, red glare.
Bob's bursting in there and all that shit. We got to do it right when, because I can't, like I said, if I was over there, I would have been in the IRA. We got to do it when the Orangemen are ready to walk. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the bullshit.
But now, lo and behold, here I am. We're in the middle of a conversation. We got, you know, 38 minutes left in the program, and I see that dipshit Donnie has just wrong tweeted somebody bitching about the fact that they told him he did the wrong thing by tweeting 5-year-old racist videos.
That's how. This is where we are, and I'm sorry. I'm glad you took my call. I'm sorry. I'm fucking up your fundraising.
No, you're not. You're not screwing anything up. In fact, things just got better. We're now down to only $230 to go, thanks to Silent R. Lamar. Thank you, Silent R. And that's
thanks, Silent. Yeah.
That is a big deal. So we're $30 away from at least only having to raise, you know, the regular amount tomorrow evening, and $230 away from not being having to fundraise at all on, you know, Thorn in the Side Thursday. So that's promising. Thank you so very much, Silent R. Lamar.
Silent R, I hope you call in soon, because I really had to get that off my chest about, you know, what we got into on that tangent, because you were asking me about the food.
Oh, and I just got a cowbell from Devin for hair under groping Fuhrer. I get chat cowbells now. So let's translate that.
That was one of the best things you ever did. I'm telling you, I remember you pre-cowbell. You're much better post-cowbell.
Well, you can thank Sparky for that. That's entirely on Sparky.
Well, Sparky, you did a good job, man.
Absolutely.
The garage dog says yes.
Grady the shop dog? Or okay.
Well, you know, whoever, however you want to ascribe it.
Right, I got it.
So,
no, I am. I'm gonna now that the holidays passed, I'm gonna pick up a cheap bird, and maybe, maybe smoke it this weekend and eat the bird and leave the scraps. And then one of these days, you gotta make you a big pot of turkey carcass soup. It's
hell
just,
yeah.
And what you do is you know, big stock pot and, you know, get some like kitchen shears and just kind of snip away at the and, you know, bones and tendons and scraps of meat, skin, whatever, all of it into the pot. Cover it with water.
Damn right.
Cover it with water. Let it simmer. Throw in a bouquet garni and just let it go for a while. And then once you've got, you know, and then you pull out the pieces and you, bones and everything. I mean, we're talking about let it simmer for 6-8 hours. You know, just nothing going on. Just bloop, 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 you know, simmering. Pull it all out. Scrape off all the meat. And maybe if there's any skin, like chop it into teeny tiny pieces. Get rid of the bones. Put everything back in. And then you can put anything in you want. I like lentils in my turkey carcass soup. But if, like I said at the beginning of the program, if you've if it's a smoked turkey, you're going to wind up with one of the most mind-bendingly delicious bowls of soup you have ever eaten in your life. It's just amazing. You know, doesn't matter. Tomatoes, okra, onions, potatoes, celery, carrots, peas, whatever.
God. You're making me hungry, man. Stop. Stop. See, people who are, I don't even want to say foodie. You don't have to be a foodie, but yes, what you're saying, absolutely. I mean, come on, that's the backbone of French cooking. I mean, that's basically, you know, stop.
Well,
and stop.
Right, but you know, using your leftovers that way, that's also poor folks cooking. And 9 times out of 10, if you look at the food heritage of anywhere in the damn world, poor folks cooking winds up being the best food on the planet.
Well, let me tell you a secret. I stopped buying dog food for my dog. My 4 or 5 years ago. I cooked for the dog because she got hit twice by, you know, I took her to the vet. She got hit twice by cars. And she had the floppity-floppity. One leg has no tendon on it. And the other one is all gimpy and, like, disjointed. And took her to the vet. He was like, well, I can fix it for $5,000. I was like, oh, okay. I'll see you next month. And he was like, well, the best you can do is just make her comfortable, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. So at that point, I was like, you know what? Glucosamine. I said, I'm just boiling shit. So I give her, you know, I boil down shit. I just boil down shit. And I give her, you know, meat and grains and vegetables, you know. And the dog is fine. And I do the same for myself. Soup will fucking keep your ass healthy.
Oh, I tell you what, that turkey carcass soup with a big old pan of piping hot cornbread. If there's a better meal on the planet, I don't know it.
Well, you know it. And by the way, I wanted to ask you, because I know you said when your wife was away, you made like a flatbread, like a sweet flatbread with some fruit and stuff on it.
Oh, the fruit pizza?
Did you do that for Agnes?
No.
Yeah.
No, that was on purpose. That was using that whole yogurt in the pizza dough idea.
Yeah. Did you do that for her? Because I think she was away.
No, I haven't. No. The weather's been kind of dicey for long-term outdoor, but we're going to have some good weather over the weekend. But then again, she's headed back to the... You
know. Well, that's why I hadn't been cooking out either. I mean, it's nice now, but I had to wait till there was too many leaves on the ground, and I like to get that fire going. And I'm not in the mood for a fucking fire. No, house fire.
Well,
but,
believe me, I understand.
But see, you got the new apparatus. See, I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, man, I bet you gave that thing a workout for Thanksgiving, dude.
Well, I wound up not being able to actually do the bird. I did the test turkey, and I learned a lot, but I wasn't able to do the bird on the smoker for Thanksgiving like I wanted to, just because the thawing out didn't work exactly as planned. But we wound up having an absolutely delicious turkey. Just wasn't quite the way I wanted it to be. The dressing, you know, the bird is good. Turkey is good meat. But the thing that routinely year in and year out and maybe it's because it's a 150-year-old recipe and it's just packed with your daily RDA of karma or something, but it's the dressing. My entire family loses its mind over the dressing.
Mm.
And it's so simple, and it starts out so who cares, and it turns into this, you know, once it's baked in the oven, and it starts out very moist, and then you're drying it out in the oven so that you can re-wet right. it, so you can re-wet it with the gravy, and just, at least in my family, yeah, I want some turkey, Dad. I want a lot of dressing, Dad. our one member of the family who's not, you know, not here with us, who's too far away to reach, it was practically bawling when she was texting me going, Dad, I just want some dressing. Come, please come out here, Dad. Come make me dressing, Daddy. And, you know, when we get to the daddy, you know, it's getting bad.
That's beautiful, man. That is wonderful. I'm so happy that you had that nice new apparatus
the daggum banana pudding just can't be beat. I mean, my family will go for the banana, and you know, I'll have to make it again at Christmas too. At Christmas we try to go with a standing rib of beef, depending on, you know, what the price of one of those things is on the on the world spot market.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate you taking my call, and
it's always a blast.
Somebody
Todd.
Else.
All right, man. Well,
hey, brother.
Hang in there. You take care. We'll talk soon. Bye now. It's our buddy Good Todd down in South Carolina, Stan. Barbecuer extraordinaire. Let's see. Here's another thing. You know, we've got days when we nominate Morans and Titanic intellects, and maybe sometimes we don't do as good a job of telling of offering up kudos and praise where it is richly deserved. And that praise is richly deserved in the case of Minnesota Democrat Representative Keith Ellison. This is a real live, no kidding, full-on member of the House of Representatives. And he said, you know, there's no weasel words in front of it. Interviewed by The Guardian, he simply said, the president is racist. So now there will be a tweet storm against Keith Ellison from all the mouth breathers and knuckle walkers and mouth breathers and snake handlers and floor rollers and strychnine swillers and head anointers and the rest of the Klansmen and Nazis and neo-Nazis and skinheads and xenophobes and bigots and homophobes and freaks that form the base of Donald J. Trump. But bless your heart, Keith Ellison. Unvarnished, unflyblown, simple, structural, simply structured sentence. The president is racist. Then he continued. There's no doubt about that in my mind. This is Trump. He is a politician who is cynically trying to divide people along racial and religious lines. Somehow, people who call him out on his racism have to worry about defending themselves against people saying, how dare you call the president a racist? Well, apparently, Keith Ellison has no such worries. And not only does Keith Ellison say the things he says, he votes that way too. On the other hand, there's Precious Lindsay quivering and quaking under the fainting couch down at the ancestral home of smoldering chode, reaching out a shaking hand for another Darvon and mint julep. Offering remarks on Trump tweeting the racist hate videos today, Lindsay said, well, it was particularly unhelpful. One, it legitimizes these websites, this group in England. And then of the woman who's where he got the tweets, well, she's being prosecuted for religious harassment. You don't want to take a fringe group and elevate their content. I think it is also not the message we need to be sending right now when we need Muslim allies. Hold me, John. And then, of course, Lindsay said, why, yes, I'm going to do exactly what he wants me to do. I'm going to vote for that god-awful tax cut. Pillage the budget bill. I'm gonna add $1 trillion to the deficit, and I'm gonna drop it all on the backs of poor working Americans. Of course I am. I'm a Republican now, don't you know? Gulp. Well, I tell you what, there is a big damn difference between Lindsey Graham with his rubber-tipped arrow Parthian shots, and Keith Ellison walking the walk and talking the talk. Big damn difference. So I just wanted to make sure that we got that out there. Yeah, I know. Steve from Georgistan says it's going to pass, Bob. Of course it's going to pass. It's going to pass because the Republican Party exists for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to screw working people into the dirt. But to tell them the whole time, listen, I'm screwing you, and you're not going to be able to keep the lights on or the heat on in the winter or anything, but I just want to let you know, we support the little fetuses. And everything in America would be sunshine and violets if we could just keep them filthy daughters of Eve from having control over their own bodies. It's fact. That's the world. That's who they are. So, let's go over and check in with Scott and Punky real quick. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob, real quick. I enjoyed the hell out of the call yesterday with Jim and then the call just now with Todd. And I'll make this a quickie simply because I don't have anything prepared except these two things. The first thing is you talked about the turkey carcass soup.
See?
My mother used to make, huh?
I said, see? Yes, see? Yes, I did.
Yeah. My late mother used to make the best turkey carcass soup imaginable. And once the carcass had been properly cooked for like 6 or 8 hours, she would do a teeny, teeny, weeny, weeny dicing of carrots.
Yep.
And throw a bunch of those in. And, oh, Lord, I forget what all vegetables. She'd put rice in there. She'd put tomatoes in there. She'd put just all manner of good, good stuff along with what was left of the turkey meat. And then at the right time, she'd put in rice and a little bit of barley and celery.
Oh, that barley. You know. Oh, what a nice touch the barley is.
Oh, you talk about a full-bodied soup and serve that up with hot sourdough bread with butter. Oh, baby.
Oh, stop it. Yeah. And a soup like soup like that just steaming on a frigid day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the perfect time of the year for it. Well, it depends on where you are. Back where I grew up in Northern Virginia, by late November, there was the mornings were nippy.
There was a bite in the air. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you come home from school. It's late in November. The sun is sinking fast. Might be 4:30, and Mama puts a bowl of that in front of you with a hunk of cornbread. Happy boy.
Indeed. And back in my early years, I had an afternoon paper out, the old Washington Daily News. So dinner would be held until I got back from, you know, making my rounds on the paper route. And by that time, it's way after dark on a late November night. Might be raining, might even be spitting snow. You know, you never can tell with D.C. weather. But when you mentioned that turkey carcass soup, I started, it's like Pavlov's dog. I started drooling.
Well, and just imagine it with the most delicate hint of hickory smoke about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I imagine that is good. I've never had a hickory smoked, you know, a smoked turkey before. And I imagine that adds just another dimension to it.
Well, as we always say, it's a real booger to keep lit.
Yeah. And if you've ever tried to roll them, you need that big bamboo paper to do that. But the other thing, you and Todd's conversation reminded me that now is the perfect time to give a plug for the best book that I've read all year. And I'm not alone in this. It's a New York Times bestseller. Lawrence O'Donnell, no less, calls it the single most important explanation and the fullest explanation of how Donald Trump became president of the United States. Nothing less than the most important book I have read this year. Signed, Lawrence O'Donnell. And the book that I'm talking about is by Kurt Anderson, Kurt with a K and S-E-N at the end of Anderson, Fantasyland, How America Went Haywire, a 500-year history. I am just about finished with it.
Oh, I've heard about that one, and I'm severely tempted to jump. Yeah.
I'm telling you, Bob, you will not be sorry. If you have a Christmas wish list, a holiday wish list, put that book at the top of it.
Well, I've actually jotted it down somewhere. I've got two books that I want to get my hands on right now.
Mm-hmm.
One's nonfiction and one's fiction. That's the nonfiction, and then by an author. It's his very first foray into the world of the novel. An author named George Saunders. And it's called Lincoln in the Bardo.
Oh, I've heard good things about that as well.
It's a premise that's almost irresistible, and I'd say between the two of them on my Kindle, it'll be somewhere around $30.
Well, I'm telling you, if you enjoy knowing how we got to where we are now, Fantasyland is the book. That is the book.
Well, it's the 500-year part that grabs me, Scott. Because well, I like that long view stuff.
Well, and this then will be right up your alley. And if you have friends, and this book wouldn't necessarily...
I don't.
Well, no, this... Let me finish. I haven't described what type of friends they are, Bob. Give me a moment. This book would not necessarily be for your crazy uncle who loves Donald Trump. This book would be for... perhaps one of your temporarily misguided friends who went a little crazy last November and flunked that one question IQ test that you keep talking about. This would be for someone who has a couple viable brain cells to rub together and actually is capable of learning something so that they will then know something. This would be the book for them, but definitely get it for yourself if nobody else.
Well, those two are definitely going to happen. Now I got to share this with you before because you said you were going to be brief. I just want to share with you what happens here when people hear your voice.
Oh no.
8:39 p.m. because it's time stamped.
Yeah.
Earther, I'm updating the Big Lebowski pool for Scott. I've got February 13th, 2018. He watches it. 8:40 p.m., Brother Deacon Asa, cut the bullshit, Scott. Did you watch the movie or not?
Well, I don't know if they caught the act the other night.
They did. That's why I'm getting the notes.
Yeah. Well, it is recorded. It is on my DVR, and it will be watched before the week is out.
Yeah, but that's like the evangelical Christians. They've all got a Bible, Scott, but they don't read it.
So I should revise my timeline and do it tonight the moment I hang up. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, I mean, if you do it for me, I'd appreciate it. You know that part about how I don't have any friends? Be a friend, would you?
All right. Well, all right. I was double checking that all was in readiness in Martini Land earlier today.
White sure Russians, white Russians, and yes, white Russians have Kahlua.
But see, then I'll have to go out and get half and half.
Oh, first world problems.
Well, I guess I could do that.
You need half and half Kahlua and vodka.
All right, what is in a white Russian? Because I've had a black Russian, but never a white Russian.
A black Russian is just vodka and Kahlua, I think. A white Russian, because Chris and I were talking about this earlier today, and she was hearkening back. A white Russian is half and half vodka and Kahlua on the rocks.
All right, well, then I'd have to get Kahlua and half and half.
Yes.
All right, well, that'll have to wait till tomorrow night because the eagle flies at 10 o'clock tomorrow night from my rich Uncle Sam and up in the Social Security Administration.
Uncle Sugar?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah,
because I'm down to, I don't have enough laundry quarters. Sometimes around the end of the month, I can juggle these laundry quarters, but I don't think there's enough for Kahlua. And
well, you know, you can also use off-brand.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But it's not like there's any pressure or anything. I mean, we don't engage in drinking peer pressure around here.
Actually, tomorrow night may be the better night to watch it because I can go to Target. I can pick up stuff that I need. And still get back home in time to watch the movie without it being like in the dead of night. Because the dead of night viewing hours are reserved for 77 Sunset Strip.
Yes.
I know you chuckled at that the other night.
No, I mean, I only chuckled because I had another buddy in radio probably 25 years ago, 30 years ago, who was a huge 77 Sunset Strip fan. And this is before DVRs or, hell, it was barely. And so he was setting the timer on his VHS, on his video mm-hmm. cassette recording, his VCR, and recording every episode because it was running, I think, way back then on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, probably so. Well, the thing that I liked so much about it, and I remember it. From the early 60s, it was something that I would watch every Thursday or whenever it came on ABC. It was such a cool program because I think it ran from 59 or 58 up until about 63. And
well, the Corvette alone.
Well, it was based in Los Angeles, and you had Evram Zimbalist Jr., who was the epitome of suave and debonair. You had Roger Smith, his partner in the PI firm, the private eye firm. You had Kooky, Gerald Lloyd Cookson III, otherwise known as Kooky, who was the parking lot attendant at the restaurant next door, Dino's Lodge. Okay, who wanted to be a PI. You had Roscoe, the racetrack tout, and you had Suzanne, the French woman who was the receptionist and operator, phone operator. And then later there was another character who was on for a couple of seasons. I can't think of his name right now. Rex Randolph, is that possible? Or am I confusing his character name?
Richard, I'm not sure.
Richard Long was, he was on the Big Valley. And I think his last name was Long. I'll have to look that up. But anyway, it was such a great show because it was a snapshot of L.A. and America in the late 50s, early 60s.
The way L.A. saw itself.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a Warner Brothers thing, so you knew there was going to be gunfights and violence.
Absolutely.
And it was great except for the last season, because the last season, somebody went crazy at Warner Brothers Television. They got rid of all the characters except Stuart Bailey, and they brought in Jack Webb as the executive producer, and William Conrad, of all people, doing some directing. And it was a very film noirish, sort of outlook and feel of the show, and it just wasn't anywhere near as good.
The trouble you make here, Arthur follows up with a note. I moved the date up from early 2019, and then I get an email from Bill. Who says my bet is that Scott won't watch it until March 31st, 2018. I mean, you've got a pool starting, and people, I got to tell you, you've got a branding problem, Scott.
Oh no!
Yeah, I mean, you know, 2018, January, February, March.
Well, wait a minute. I procrastinate, but I'm not nearly that bad.
See, well, I mean, I think we're right up at a year now.
No, it hasn't been that long, has it?
I think it has. By the way, Todd wrote back in to say, subject line, yes, real white Russians with bong hits. Amazing, what a wonderful combination. It'll keep you up all night in the good way.
So,
you'll understand, you know, you'll understand completely. And you can call back in and tell us what condition your condition is in.
All right. Well, I tell you what. But before the week is up, more than likely tomorrow night, I will watch the movie.
Well, yeah.
And I hope to God I like it, because
if you don't, you can't call anymore. Okay. I mean, it's just, you know.
Oh shit.
I mean,
that's serious business, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you have to agree with me politically or anything, but if you don't like the Big Lebowski, that's a character flaw, man.
Yeah. Everybody seems to think that
in the future, after you've seen it, and I say something like that, you'll respond, "Well, like, that's just your opinion, man."
Well, I do that already, I think. But everybody keeps telling me, you included, that I was made for the movie. Apparently, there's something about my attitude that fits.
You know,
perfectly.
I mean, we're not trying to be a cult here or anything, but there are a couple of things we get culty about. One of them's Idiocracy, and this is the other one. And I get culty about The In-Laws with, you know, Peter Falk and Alan Arkin and that amazing, amazing, massively talented cast.
Is that available like on Amazon? The other one, The In-Laws.
I think it is. If you elect to rent it.
Okay. Oh, and I found the movie I was telling you about with Janet Leigh and Robert Mitchum. I think it's on December 10th on TCM. It's called Holiday Affair.
Okay, Holiday
and,
Affair.
And it's a nice, cute little Christmas movie.
Oh, and by the way, Steve from Georgistan reminds me that Big Lebowski also contains the signature line that really should be minted on the money since January 20th, 2017, to wit, "Shut the fuck up, Donnie."
All right.
That needs to be translated into Latin, and like all the White House press corps should wear buttons with the Latin translation of "Shut the fuck up, Donnie."
Well, you know, once I watch this movie, we're going to have a new pool, a betting pool on an event, a future event. And I nominate when the men with the butterfly nets and the white coats are going to come cart Mr. Trump off for his own good and put him in the room with inflatable wallpaper.
Well, you know, you're more optimistic than I, and I understand, and I don't see it happening.
Yeah, probably not.
Because there has to be some sort of agency that acts to make it happen.
That's true.
And, you know, where is it? Who is it? Now, well, again, just to sort of run back over that much trod ground. If the Democrats get control of the Congress, maybe, just maybe, it's a different story.
Well, until that time, let me leave you with this comforting thought that occurred to me last night. As the holiday season approaches, one wonders if the universe will arrange for a gag-inducing desert-dry piece of fruitcake to make its way to a certain orange-colored chief executive. It's at the top of millions of Christmas wish lists this year.
No, he only eats chocolate cake. He gets two scoops of ice cream on it, and it's only the best chocolate cake.
Well, if only to observe momentarily the natural color of his face, along with an expression of sheer panic. So,
yeah, I know.
But if he doesn't do fruitcake, then we'll miss that opportunity for a moment of entertainment, cheap entertainment.
Well, one of those burnt steaks, you know. You ever chewed on a piece of extra super duper double plus awful well done New York strip for a month and a half one day?
They call that beef jerky. That's not steak. It shifts into the realm of pioneer jerky.
Yeah, and so the in-laws lines begin coming in. Todd's serpentine, Sheldon, absolutely. You know, sadly, there was very little we could do. These tsetse flies are protected against pilferage by the Guacamole Act of 1917.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. I've got to put that one on my list, too.
I am a Quaker. I am a Quaker with a deep deep belief in the sanctity of human life. I wish I had a choice but to kill you. It's a perfect movie. Anyway, Scott, I got to get out of here. You and Punky have a good night.
I will, and you do likewise. And I'll have the review for you guys probably next week because I won't be able to get in Friday. And if I watch it late tomorrow night, it'll be after the show. All right, Bob.
Understood. You take care. Have a good night. Bye now. Everybody, Scott and Punky. A minute or so before the hour. Time to get the heck out of here. Here endeth the lesson, as they say in those churchy places. And I want to thank everybody for sharing in the program this evening. Thank you for sharing the precious finite time of your life, engaging in our little conversation. I know what that means, and I am so grateful for it that you want to be part of all of this. You choose to be part of all of this, because God knows there's a bunch of broadcasts out there. And even more TV. Thank you to everybody who supports the program. Thanks, Ralphs. And thanks to Silent R. Lamar. Thank you very, very kindly. Let me just check here and make sure that I'm not leaving anybody out. Oh, yes. Thanks also, again, to Kay and to Karen. So we'll probably still be at $205 tomorrow evening because the nature of the subscriptions and stuff. I don't know if we've got anybody on the 30th of the month, and it'll revert to the 28th come February. But thank you, one and all, for keeping this program on the air. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Midweek, Utility, Pinch Hit, Prayer Meeting Wednesday, Deacon and chat room moderator Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox, Ben Birch. Thanks to the WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.